In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Wait, what was the question? After hearing Jesus in today's gospel reading, that's a fitting reaction. Wait, what was the question? It's a bit difficult to discern the theme in Jesus' words here. In just 8 verses, he speaks of peace and of his word, of the work of the Spirit and his relationship with his Father. And it all begins with John writing, "Jesus answered him." Who was Jesus answering? And more importantly, what was the question? In the verse preceding today's reading, John writes, "Judas, not Iscariot, said to Jesus, 'Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?'" How is it you will manifest yourself, reveal yourself, make yourself present to us and not to the world? Today's text is Jesus' answer to that question. First, Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." After he had left his disciples, first when he was arrested and crucified, later, when he ascended as ruler over all things for the benefit of the church, Jesus continued to reveal himself to his disciples and reveals himself to believers still today through his word. That's how anyone comes to know Jesus, by hearing the scriptures, scriptures which testify concerning him. It seems almost too obvious a point to make, but everything you know about Jesus, of who he is and what he's done, all comes from the scriptures. His word in the scriptures, which is also the Father's word, reveals Jesus to be the Son of God. More than that, though, it also tells of his mission to save sinners from death and hell, by coming in the flesh, living a life of complete and perfect obedience to God's law, and then innocently suffering the punishment for your sin. And the scriptures also tell us why he did it. Out of love. Because God loves you, Jesus gives you his perfect obedience to be your own, and takes all of your rebellion against God, all of your sins, all of your failures, as his own, and fully paid for them himself. The result is that now when God looks at you, he sees perfection. Let Satan try to accuse. "Did you see that, God? Did you see how he messed up? Did you see how she failed?" Jesus says, "Oh no. You see, what's required of her, I did long ago for her. His deficits, they're all more than covered by my credits. I long since took care of everything for them. And justice has already been done. The wages of sin is death. I died for every sinner already. There isn't any punishment that I haven't already endured in their place as their substitute." That's the message of God's word. It is certainly a word to keep, that is, to treasure and guard, to which you should listen again and again, because it tells you that Jesus loves you so much that he stretched out his arms and died for you. That's why his word is a truly precious thing. And because of his love for you that it reveals, there is now love for him in your heart. And Jesus says, "He and his Father come to you and make their home with you." But what about the world? Jesus' word doesn't go out only to his disciples, only to those who believe in him. It's there for everyone, isn't it? Indeed it is. But apart from faith, the world doesn't see Jesus. They don't keep his word. It goes in one ear and out the other. Lacking faith, they don't see anything in God's word that has any value for them. Nothing they would want to keep. This is a difficult thing to hear, particularly if you consider how casual you've sometimes been with respect to Jesus' word. The uncomfortable truth is that from the disciples on down to you and me, there isn't a single Christian ever who hasn't at times found himself or herself bored with God's word, disinterested in what it has to say. And I dare say that's a bit generous, because if you gave it some thought, you could probably remember a time when your response to God's word was active opposition, not just indifference. So it's a sobering thing to hear Jesus say, "The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day." So we do well to pray, "Lord, forgive me for my sin with regard to your word, for my failure always to hear your word with gladness and to keep it in my heart and mind as the treasure it is. In your mercy, do not focus on my sin, but on my Savior's obedience for me. Grant that from this day forward I would gladly hear his word and learn it, for in it I have my Savior and all his gifts." How is it that Jesus manifests himself to believers but not to the world? He comes to us in his word, but not only in his word. He promised also the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father would send in Jesus' name, who would teach his disciples all things and bring to their remembrance all that he has said to them. It was on Pentecost that Jesus first fulfilled this promise in a most amazing way. But though normally without as much fanfare, he still keeps it today. Remember the truth you learned from the Catechism. "I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith." If you believe in Jesus as your Savior, if you love him and treasure his word, it's the result of the Spirit's work in and through that word. And it is only by the Spirit's continuing work in and through God's word that you will persevere in the faith. Even now, at this very moment, the Spirit is active in teaching you what Jesus has said and reminding you of the precious truth of the gospel. According to Jesus' promise, as you love him and treasure his word, not just Jesus, but the Father and the Holy Spirit as well, are manifested to you, revealed to you. They come to you and make their home with you. And because of Jesus' saving work for you, his perfect life and innocent suffering and death, you have peace with God. "Peace I leave with you," he says. "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." This world can be a frightening place. Wherever you look, there are threats to safety and health, security and comfort. And yet, regardless of all of this, your Savior says to you, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." It's true, in the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world, Jesus says. Nothing in all of creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that he has for you because of me. And all of this is because Jesus did as the Father commanded him. He loved you more than he loved his own life and allowed himself to be handed over to wicked men to be mocked and scourged and crucified so that you need never experience God's wrath but can live under him in his kingdom in everlasting righteousness and innocence and blessedness. Jesus left his disciples that Thursday night to go to the cross so that having brought about reconciliation with God for you, he could rise again and ascend into heaven to rule over and control all things with an eye to your eternal welfare. Jesus has gone to the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. But even now he comes to you in his word, by his spirit, in the water of holy baptism, in the word of absolution, forgiving you all your sins, in the words of scripture read and proclaimed, and in his true body and blood in the supper. He comes to you to forgive you and to strengthen and sustain you until the day that by his grace he will call you to be with him forever. The Lord bless you always to receive his word and promises and cling to them in faith and joy, to his glory and to your eternal good. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. To life everlasting. Amen.